You know, I want to share something with y'all tonight that's just like what God's doing right there in our hearts on the Holy Ghost. So get your Bibles out. And if you would, go look in the book of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. You know, I got to tell you something kind of funny. My daughter will laugh when she gets this recording. We may have to throw this one out or something. But my, you know, y'all know that Darcy, my daughter's in California, and she's going to a church. And she told me that when she went to this church that, you know, she liked the spirit. She went to several churches trying to find a church. She just couldn't believe how hard it was to find a church. You know, to go, it's just crazy, and she's just been going to church and church. She finds this church, and it was a church like I've always said that I wanted, like Lock and Terror, where you know it's all different church services and different things happening. So they went anyway. Long story short, she was going up the other day to with her husband to be prayed for to receive the Holy Ghost, and so she talked before and asked, said, "Hey, you know, y'all." She asked a girlfriend that she'd met in there. She said, "Hey, you know, church believes in the Holy Ghost, right?" Said, "Oh, yeah. You know, people pray in tongues." Yeah, no problem. And so she goes up to pray to on the prayer team. You know, they have like we do. You know, prayer team goes up on Sunday morning. So she goes up to the guy and says, "Hey, you know, my husband and I, he wants to pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit." And this is just a dumb look came on the guy's face. He's like, "Well, I'm not sure I know what you mean." And so come to find out, he didn't understand the Holy Ghost the way we understand the Holy Ghost. It's Pentecostal receiving of laying on of hands, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So anyway, she starts telling him. So anyway, I got to sitting her, you know, I got to talking to her, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit and everything, and I got stirred about something that I never had really thought about the Holy Ghost. And I want to show this to you tonight. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said, everybody said Jesus said.
Jesus.
Okay, Robert didn't say, the church didn't say, doctrine doesn't say, you know, Jesus said. Everybody said again, Jesus said.
Jesus.
I mean, it's in red letters. And if Jesus said it in red letters, then bless God, we're supposed to be believing it, right? And so he said that when he says, "But you shall, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." Now, I don't want to take time tonight, but if you go back and look in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, 37, starts talking about that the promise that God was always wanting was to live and dwell within man. That's what God always wanted to do in the garden. He always wanted to be with man. He wanted to have a relationship with man. He wanted to fellowship with man, right? But from the sin of the garden until, you know, Jesus came, and by the blood of the Holy Ghost, I mean, by the blood of the Spirit of God, you could not have the Spirit of God living on you. Jesus, God couldn't be there with you because you're a sinner. I mean, simply put, right? I mean, you know, holiness and unholiness don't mix. So the promise of the Father he's always talking about was us being the temples of God, being the Spirit of the living God, the place where God could come and live and dwell in, right? And so Jesus said, "I want to send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Now, endued in that word there, endued, it really doesn't mean like charged with electricity. What it means, can I borrow your coat for a second? Enduing is simply this. Can you stand up? This is enduing. Turn around. This is enduing. She was endued with power from on high. You follow what I'm saying? It was the power from on high. And it came, and it literally means to wrap, to put on, to put the vestment on. Jesus comes up and that's what he did. He endued them with power from on high. Right? Now think about this. Oh, okay, no, you can't go down and sit down here.
Okay.
So just think about this, okay? Just like if this is a priestly garment, this is a holy garment, okay? And he just comes and he just wraps it, drapes it, and then it engulfs her. You with me? She's in, dude, she's engulfed. She's covered. She's from, you know, like say if it was a bigger coat that went all the way to the floor and you put it on her, it would engulf her. That's what that word means. Thank you. That's what that word means. You were great. I actually think you're a better prop than Frankie. So, you know, it means like when Jesus said, man, I want you to go tarry in Jerusalem because there's something that's going to come upon you. It's going to just totally wrap you up and envelop you and become a part of you. All right? So this is what's going to happen. Okay, so go over to the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, Jesus again is speaking. It's not Robert, it's Jesus. He says, he's talking to his disciples. Acts 1:8. He said, and he told his disciples, I can't see it. That's my problem. I need large words. But you shall receive, what does it say? Okay, now the word power there is the word that's, it's dunamis. It means, it's like dynamite, where we get dynamite from. Okay? Explosive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That word come upon you is the same word, meaning back when it says that you've been endued with power from what? It's come on you. Right? It's come upon you, and then what's going to happen? Yeah, he says, and all of a sudden you're going to be a witness. Now, what is a witness? Isn't a witness a person, like if they're on the witness stand, they're testifying on what they saw, right? They were involved in this, and so he's saying, you're going to be endued with powerful eye, and then you're going to become a witness. Now, I'm going to take a little detour here. Now, I want you to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and I believe it's verse 20. Try 20. No, 21, 22. 3, 4, 5. It's the very last verse. Huh. Well, let me look, see if I can get my Bible far enough away from me here. Forget it. I know what I was talking about. 10. Revelation, it's 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said unto me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Okay, it's kind of a weird verse. It's the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Now go to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12. For the word of God is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul, the spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, the intention of God is for the believers to be endued with power from on high by the Holy Spirit. We know Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit fell and it happened. And he says then in Revelation, he said, look, the spirit of prophecy or the spirit of prophecy is Jesus, right? Okay, he said you're going to be a witness. You've endued with power, now you're a witness, you're testifying. You're testifying the word. And the word going out is a living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the division of the soul and spirit. In other words, whenever you as a believer endued with power from on high are speaking the word of God out, it's the same, it's the spirit of prophecy going forth that has life in it. Okay? It's prophetic, it has life to it. So we always think of prophecy, we think of a prophet and saying, yay, hey, thus saith the Lord, you know, some glad morning when this life is over, you'll fly away. Right? But prophecy means the proclamation, the proclaiming of the word. That's what prophecy is. When you stand up and do with power, you, okay, so let's just get it down. I'm kind of excited here. So I'm kind of flipping. So when you have a friend who's got a problem and you really want Jesus to speak to him, you really want to minister to him, you really want to see God deliver him, you know the best thing you can do is take the truth of the Word of God and speak to him, because when you do, it releases the life of God into that situation. Counsel, you know, if it's godly counsel, you could kind of direct them a little bit, but counseling somebody, say, well, you know, I think if I was you, I would da-da-da-da. You're wasting your words in that sense. Because you want to help them. You need life to touch them. There's something that takes place that I cannot explain to you, I cannot grab hold of and show you, that takes place when a believer endued with power from on high begins to speak God's word. It begins to release in the realm of the spirit life to the person who's hearing it. If the person that's hearing it is receptive. Because think about this. How many times did Jesus in his ministry speak a word and some people were like, oh, that is it. Oh, he is the Son of God. And others were like, rah. Since they were gnashing their teeth, throw him off the hill and kill him. Because it provoked the demons on the inside of them when the other people, their hearts were open to receive the word of life. You see, just because you're prophesying doesn't always mean it's going to go good. Woo-hoo! That's an encouraging word, isn't it? Because you may not do anything but stir the devil on the inside of them. I've always marveled at the scripture where Jesus told the disciples to go and to preach the gospel. Okay? He told them to go out with power and cast out devils and heal the sick and raise the dead. Preach the gospel. Tell them the kingdom of God's coming. Right? And he says, and when they don't receive you, what? Yeah, and I'm like, what do you mean you already set me up for a fall? When they don't receive you, if they do receive you, let your peace come upon their house, it says. But if they don't receive you, then shake the dust off your feet. Well, then he already knew that some people were going to receive it and some people weren't. He already knew it wasn't 100% that everybody was going to hear the gospel and turn. But what were they doing? Well, we know in Luke chapter 10, they told him, said, man, we were healing the sick, we were raising the dead, we cast out devils. In other words, signs and wonders were happening. But even though signs and wonders were happening, people still weren't responding. See, so many times we think, and I have thought before, oh, God, if you just do a miracle, just something miraculous, everybody will come and get saved. But the truth is they're not. Because if it didn't work for Jesus, it sure isn't going to work for us. Right? If they wanted to take Jesus and throw him off of a hill, what are they going to do to you? Right? See, I'm a real naive guy in the sense that I just can't believe anybody wouldn't accept it, walk in it, love it. And I'm just like, what? Are you kidding me? But, you know, it depends on what's in the person's heart. So you got to understand the power that God gives you. When you're endued with power from on high, and then you let the word come out of your mouth, it's life. Maybe we ought to stop saying less words and just make sure the word we're saying is the word. That made a lot of sense, didn't it? But you knew what I was talking about. Right? Just maybe not say so many words, but make sure the word that's coming out of our mouth is the word. Sounds like a rap. I don't think there was much of a rapper. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes we feel helpless and defenseless in situations, but if we release the word into it, we're releasing life into it, we're releasing the spirit of prophecy into it. Now, think about this. In the Old Testament, when God spoke to people, he either had to speak to the priests or the prophets, right? It was a momentary thing. He just came down upon them. Guy got charged up by the Holy Ghost and spoke or prophesied or did whatever, and then that was it. Then it lifted, and the guy, you know, it was all over. Right? But in the New Testament, just think about this. I'm talking about ways that you can now be inspired. Okay? Obviously, Hebrews 4 right there, in reading the Word, our Bibles, it has the ability to leap off the page and inspire us, right? Because all of that's happened to you. I know it's happened to you before. I'll be sitting there having a situation, something going on. I say, God, you need to speak to me. And I'm reading the Word, and all of a sudden, it's just like it leaps off the page. What happened? The spirit of prophecy in the Word, when I spoke it, I read it, I saw it, it was released, and it leaped into my heart. Right? And it was like, wow. And it gave me direction. It gave me whatever. Okay? So then the second way you could have is what you're doing tonight. You come to a service, it's anointed, and the word's being spoken, then God can come in there and speak to you. And I know this has happened to you. Don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to throw you out of the church. But how many of you have come in here before and I've been preaching a message about something and God spoke to you about something totally different in the message that I was speaking? See, I want you to know that you got exactly what I was talking about, but I know y'all. I know I'm speaking about this tonight, and you're thinking about, oh my gosh, now I see this. Because what's happening is life is being released to you, and God's trying to talk, because we're all individuals, and he's trying to talk to you differently. And so I'm speaking about something, but you're in the middle of life. And wherever you are, woof, man, you're getting the revelation of maybe about something over here, and you may be looking up other scriptures. Oh my gosh, that goes to this, and this goes to this, and this goes to this. And you're getting something over here that God's saying to you, but why did that happen? Because you were in the pool, the water hole, the Spirit of God. You were in life at that moment, and life hit you and opened up to you, because it's the spirit of prophecy. It's the spirit of life coming to you that you were in, and you were open and receptive, and boom, it happened. Right? Now, I'm not going to take away from the gift of prophecy, because there can be someone speak to you and prophesy to you from God. They heard something from God and spoke to you like that, and that's totally legitimate. But the two main ways you're going to hear God all the time is when you're reading that word, okay, or you're under an anointing. And when I say under the anointing, I'm not talking about, you know, I mean, I'm talking about what's happening right here tonight. And I know it happens to me too. I can go to a pastor's conference, that guy starts speaking. If the anointing of God is flowing in the service, God starts talking to me about everything that's going on in the church, what I need to do here, what I need to do there. Tonight, during the worship up here, it's going on, and I got something over there totally different from what I was going to preach. But why? Because you get under the anointing. And we got to quit thinking in our charismatic mentality as like, you know, mystical. Woo. No, it's when there's a sincere heart delivering the word. It's going to release that anointing to you. Life's going to come to you. And you're going to be able to see through the darkness, through the fog of what's going on in life. Have y'all noticed lately, more so than ever, you can read the news or listen to the news and just become totally and completely depressed. What's happening? The spirit of death's being loosed. Now, we need to know things. I mean, we need to know some knowledge, but it's death being released to you. Have you? I've gotten real sensitive to, I don't care if they're saying the right thing, but radio talk shows or television talk shows where they're arguing and bantering back and forth, I've gotten real sensitive to that. It grieves me. It used to be us, it was like, yeah, give him the what for over there, tell him. And now I'm kind of like, it doesn't sit right with me. It doesn't feel right in my gut. It does not bear witness with the Spirit of God. You follow me? Well, it's exactly the opposite of the anointing. You know, it's the unanointing. You got to watch it, because if you stay in that, it's going to get on you. And if it gets on you, then you know what happens? You become tainted. And then you quit hearing the voice of God by the spirit of prophecy to you. Because your mind's thinking about the other. The moment you get into a situation with somebody who's negative or whatever, you know, just griping and complaining and carrying on, you know what's going to happen? It's going to get on you. And then all of a sudden you've just been in the unanointing and you lose the anointing. And you're not hearing Jesus speaking to you. That's what's sad about preachers. Preachers who get off the word and get off in their ministry and their preaching, and it's just negative and it's whatever, and it's they're not really preaching under the anointing and preaching something that's giving life to people. Well, what happens if you keep people under that long enough? Well, then everybody just becomes a mean old prune. There's no life in it. You can go sit in the church and there's no life in it. And the people, they don't get any revelation. Just go through the motions. Because it's not the spirit of prophecy. There's no life to it. So, what we have to be cautious about in our own lives is that we have to be cautious about keeping ourselves endued with power from on high. Under the anointing, not under the unanointing. So that when we go around people, and when we talk to people, the word that we have that comes out of our mouth brings life to them. Brings victory to them. And you know, a lot of times I've just said, well, the Word of God says this. Well, the Bible says this. I had a guy tell me one time, he was just complaining about everything, and I kept saying, well, the Bible says this. And he says, well, you know anything other than what the Bible says? And I said, well, nothing that'll help you. You know, and let me add something to this, and then I'll close. Okay, you can pray for somebody, and listen to this: you can pray for somebody and miss God. Now, just think about it. You could pray for a person, and you could say, "Oh, Father, you know." I'm just going to make up something crazy. God probably never pray like this, but you could say, oh, Father, please help this person. They don't know what they're doing. They really need some help. And if you would give them some help, it would really be good to them. So can you help them, Father? Okay, well, the only thing you possibly did at that point is you interceded and asked God to help them, but that was about it. You didn't give them any life. If you turned around and you said, Father, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. This person is going through this problem right now. But your word says that you sent your word and you healed them and you delivered them from all their destruction. Now you're prophesying through prayer. See, you're giving them life. Life is being released over that person. So we need to be cautious when we pray for people. What's being spoken out of your mouth for that person? And say what the Word of God says, because when you do, it's releasing the spirit of prophecy to them, and that's what's doing the miracle. I was asked the other day to say a blessing over a meal in an awkward situation. And the only reason why they did ask me to say it was because, you know, they knew I was a preacher, and you could tell that everybody that was there had probably never, ever said the blessing over a meal in their life. For some reason, they just felt obligated, like I'm standing there, so, oh, you want to say grace? And so I was just like, I could tell they were nervous as all cat on a hot tin roof. And so I was thinking about it, and I said, yeah, I'll say grace. At first I thought, you know, eat it, man, it's blessed. And then I thought, wait a minute. And so I said, let's just, yeah, okay, I'll say grace. And I said, Father, I just thank you for this day. This is a great day. I thank you, God, that, you know, you're the God that made the sun and the moon and the stars, and you put everything in existence, and you made us, Lord. And I thank you that your thoughts towards us are great thoughts. And you want to, and I started talking like this, and you gave us this food, and you want this food to bless us. And I just speak blessings over this family. I speak blessings. And everybody was just like, you could tell everybody didn't know whether to run or, you know, what. But when I finished, but I spoke the word, I made sure that I let the word come out of my mouth, you know. You knew us in our mother's womb. And you had great thoughts towards us. And you have great thoughts towards us today, God. And I thank you that the blessings from heaven come down upon them right now in Jesus' name. And when I got through, I said, okay, let's eat. And everybody's like. I mean, they're just like, oh, okay, can we? Is it okay? And so after everybody got through eating, people walked up to me and said, oh, man, my God, thank you. I've never heard anybody say a blessing like that. Mom, that just blessed me so much. And I was like, at first I was like, what? But then I realized when you don't have any anointing, you're not in any anointing, you don't know Jesus, you don't see any of the Spirit of God at all, then every little tiny bit where we would just say, as Christians, because we get so used to the anointing, you get so used to the Spirit of prophecy, you see what I'm saying? But to them that's never had a drip of cool water in the midst of a desert, it was like life-giving water, right? And all I did was, I literally prophesied in that sense by the word. But we called it the blessing over the meal. So all I'm telling you guys is you are endued with power from on high, and you're called to be witnesses. So be careful and let the word, let the prophetic word, God's word, come out of your lips. And let it just loose life into everything that's around you. Because when you speak it, it's going to happen. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Good word? Wow.